Hi, I'm Silvia McAvey from XWiki, and today I'm sharing some of the lessons we learned while collaborating through a global pandemic, the challenges we've been facing, and the changes and the tools we implemented to address them. But I'm really aware there's no one-size-fits-all. I just hope that sharing our experience will prove useful for teams navigating similar challenges. I had contemplated looking into this subject since mid-December, as I was thinking about the impact that the current health crisis has had on collaboration. The irony is that a couple of weeks later, and a few hours after I had submitted this topic, my COVID test also came back positive. I had a fairly easy form, but as I'm still recovering, it's put things further into perspective. When we look at crises like the COVID pandemic, they're a big reminder of the importance of collaboration in all walks of life. For many of us, being able to collaborate remotely has been in many ways a privilege. Prior at XWiki, we'd been working distributively building open source software for 16 years. More specifically, we've created a tool that helps teams to capture and organize their knowledge. Some of us were working remotely full-time, other colleagues opted to go to the office. The majority of the team, though, chose to blend the two, depending on our preferences and our needs. Now, almost a year on, we see that collaborating remotely during a pandemic is not business as usual. Teams need to work well together and adapt to the new circumstances. However, a crisis of this magnitude has many effects, including anxiety, which can take a big toll on our emotional and psychological health, potentially snowballing into burnout. So, what have we learned so far? Number one, the importance of creating safe spaces. Feeling like you need to have your guard up can be exhausting and take an emotional toll, which is why it's so important to create a safe space for everyone. A safe space is an environment where people feel supported and respected. It's not about limiting free speech and opinions that may not align with the general consensus. Quite the contrary, it's a medium where people may freely ask questions, challenge assumptions, and be vulnerable without the fear that they might be judged or look foolish. Number two, communicate and reinforce goals. If you want people to work collaboratively, it's so important to make the organization's goals clear and involve the team in defining them as much as possible. We also need to know how our personal work contributes towards achieving those goals. Even if things look crystal clear on your end, they might not be as obvious to the team or the community. Assuming the objectives were clear to begin with, though, people may still wonder whether the changing circumstances have had an impact. In our case, the company newsletter is a monthly blog post on our wiki where we share updates coming from all teams and the community, and it really helps us stay up to date on the company life, particularly across team, since there are less of those serendipitous run-ins that we had in the office. Since we can't know what we don't know, it's important to also ask the team regularly whether they have questions and try to address them. At XWiki, we implemented a form that people can fill in to send their questions and feedback, be it anonymously or not. Then we try our best to answer them through our own hands and through the newsletter. The third lesson was being mindful of the common issues. There have been particular challenges that have affected multiple people inside the team. Caregiving, homeschooling, and the general increasing needs of home life have been particularly difficult. Onboarding interns in a fully virtual environment is also something that we hadn't done before and we all needed to adapt to. Number four, staying connected with one-on-ones. Now, the above being said, when we don't see people in the office, it's so easy to make assumptions and fill in the gaps about their work and personal circumstances. However, everyone's personal circumstances are unique. If you take a moment to think about how this crisis has affected you, you know that people can't begin to understand unless they're explained some of the details. So taking time for one-on-one discussions is essential if you want to make sure that each team member is getting the tailored help and the attention that they need. It also avoids the trap of oversimplification and putting people only in fixed boxes like parents or students. Number five, be flexible, but avoid the trap of always on. Demands for flexibility have been around for decades, And according to the Flexible Work Report published a couple of years ago by Zenefits, 77% of employees consider that flexible work is essential for their work. So we can assume the number could have only gone up in the current climate. And this is not an easy one, since the biggest challenge around flexibility has been finding balance. And it's not a marginal issue. Finding balance is the aim of flexibility in the first place. So with technology, it means we can work from home and vary our hours to the point where we can end up living in a 24-hour workplace, where there's a continuous pressure to make yourself available. At XWiki, we've been working flexibly for 16 years, and some of the things that have worked for us have been having a set of core hours that people should generally be around for, although we're also flexible about that, depending on the circumstances. Using a calendar, so colleagues know who and when they can reasonably expect you to be around in case they need you. Using our own tool to document things and to stay organized, so people can find information when they need it, especially if some of us are offline. And last but not least, encouraging the team to communicate and find a way that best aligns with their work needs. So that could be both in sync or async communications. The teams do need to prioritize asynchronous work, not only because it gives everyone more flexibility and time off, but also because it makes long stretches of uninterrupted work possible to get in the state of flow. Number six is pretty obvious. Tools are important. Doing a great work remotely on the long run requires some essential tools, like a good computer with a working internet connection, home office equipment, and software solutions that will allow the teams to store and organize knowledge, plan their work, and to communicate. At XWiki, we'd always prefer to work on laptops to give us more flexibility. So on this front, we were covered. When it came to office space, some of us already had one at home, while others had to adapt. Since we're not planning on going back to the office in the next months, some of us also took our equipment back home, like this beautiful chair behind me. Software-wise, we were pretty lucky, since we like to eat our own dog food and use XWiki, but also because we'd always been in favor of a remote-first approach. One particular challenge we encountered during the period, though, were the skyrocketing costs of the utilities. Working from home is not cheap. Better internet, electricity, heating, even coffee and snacks can easily add up. These came up in our feedback forms, but we also saw them on our own bills. So together we decided to introduce a monthly work from home stipend. Number seven, being respectful of privacy. The results of a recent poll conducted by the Fenwick Privacy and Cybersecurity Group suggest that companies are struggling with remote work security and data protection practices. Close to 90% of employees are now handling intellectual property, confidential and personal information inside the home. So it's no surprise that organizations are making effort to improve on these points. What's concerning, though, is that some companies' actions push the boundaries of people's privacy. Back in the offline world, I've discussed with plenty of decision makers who said they would love to do remote work in their organization if only they could record everything that their team did. Well, there has to be a better way to do things. Monitoring can take various forms. It could include reading emails, tracking online behavior, taking screenshots, physical location tracking, webcam surveillance, or even taking photos of employees at their desks regularly. Monitoring is specifically concerning when people work from home, as there is a naturally increased expectation of privacy. The home is particularly protected, and it also serves other functions and cannot therefore become solely a workplace. Knowledge of being tracked can also be stressful and demoralizing, and making people agree to being tracked does not constitute valid consent. When the home is being shared, the potential harm can also extend to family members. Research on productivity while working from home suggests that people tend to be more, not less, productive. The bigger challenge actually being the inability to disconnect. So it seems like common sense that people should be given objectives, trusted to do their best work, and evaluated based on those results. Even so, doing performance reviews is very hard, and that's number eight. How does one even begin to evaluate performance in such times? How do you stay fair when everyone's circumstances are so different? I've previously stated that the objectives of any company could have changed during this time, or any communities. So then, shouldn't that also apply to the individual objectives? Can we reasonably ask people to meet targets that were defined and assigned before any of this began? These were all questions that we struggled with. We knew some companies had decided to cancel evaluations altogether, but we chose not to pursue this path. We saw these discussions as a good opportunity to exchange feedback on how the team felt about the last year, but also the work they had performed and how they saw things progressing. Number 9, getting together and celebrating. We really enjoy getting together and doing team buildings, celebrating important events or just hanging out. So for us, it was really important to continue these traditions as we moved fully online. Our awesome HR team organized virtual egg hunts, our themed activities, Halloween challenges, quizzes, and even managed to get Santa and Merry Claus to go live and meet our families. One thing that we really missed, though, was getting coffee together in the morning or staying late for drinks and chats. And for that, we now have Tuesday virtual coffees and Thursday drinks, pun intended. These events are opt-in, so people should only join if they feel like it. Secondly, it was important for some of the activities to be async, so the team could join at their convenience. Number 10. This one is essential. We need to take care of our health, as I've seen it. COVID brings many concerns, like the fear of falling ill, being socially excluded or quarantined, a fear of losing our jobs, a concern for our loved ones, being pushed in just too many directions. And responding to the demands of lockdown life can be physically and mentally taxing. And symptoms like anxiety and depression can also be common. At the end of the day, you may feel like you don't have the emotional bandwidth or the mental headspace to take on more projects or to do creative work. Really, health does come first. Now, all these points might seem obvious, and that's because they are obvious. We can't reinvent the wheel in 20 minutes, but it's often the evident things that get overlooked when you strive to work well together. And my final point is that we should also remember and keep honoring open values. Open source communities are organized around the values of trust, of transparency, open dialogue and feedback, meaning, growth, learning, and resilience. At the moment, it could be increasingly tempting to do things on our own, but it's by honoring these open values and collaboration that we'll get the best results. Thank you for watching this, and although this is pre-recorded, I should normally be around if there are any questions starting now.